Okay, so we're continuing on this thing of why is it that Gadol Mitzvos and Mishen Mitzvos, right? So last time we had the reason because that because the guy's always worried and therefore he has to be covered his yitzra more, right? So we showed because it becomes more a part of the person's reality when he when he's mechuyev, he's mitzvahedav, right? As we said, that was that answer. But now we're doing the Rashba, the Ritva, I mean, had two other answers. Seemingly two different ones, okay? His first one, he says, Zeh sata mekatrigo kashu mitzuvah. Zeh ain sata mekatrigo, l'fum tzar agra. So he said, so he's saying that the satan brings charges against him, presses him, if when he when he's mitzuvah. But when he's not mitzuvah, then it doesn't. So therefore, apparently it's painful. When the satan's bringing charges against you, he's saying it's hard, it's painful. And he says, l'fum tzar agra, the more pain, according to the pain, so is the reward. Okay, that's what he says. So the question is, what's that idea? I think that's a little shy. I think Michael said that last time also. Maybe you guys said it last time, yeah. Is that that right? That it sounds like it means is that when you have a tzivoy, and it could be as good as that. See, the mitzvahs aren't so hard. The mitzvahs per se aren't so difficult. It's so hard to take a little of. It's so hard to, I mean, most mitzvahs aren't that difficult. No, but what happens is when you're mitzvah on something, then there's like it brings up like you gotta do it. There's a part of a person doesn't want to be told what to do. There's a lot of authority and the, you know, the rules and the, so part of a person it awakens a rebellious part of a personality, and a person wants to. It's difficult. The satan is like yitzhara, so it means the satan, the yitzhara starts getting going, you know, and basically that's he has to strongly overcome that. You know, he has to force his way. So he's overcome that, and that's painful. It's hard because he, you know, a strong part of him wants to is pushing him to not accept the rules. It's very hard. A person doesn't want to have all these rules. He has to do every single thing what he's doing every second. I mean, he wants to be free, so that it's a hard thing to do, and it's the more difficulty. It's the fun target. It means it shows, it reflects that you're overcoming great resistances. You know, and the fact that it's painful, he's saying, is a reflection of the fact that you're overcoming emotions in the area, and you're really it's a greater act of perfection. But the other guy, he doesn't have those resistances, so all it is that he has to decide is he doesn't want to take a little. Okay, so he takes a little, doesn't take a little. I mean, so it's no big, it's not overcoming that much, because what greater resistance is there to doing it? So it's true, he's deciding to do it at his own chachma, which is a good maila, but he's saying, apparently, it's similar to the other thing, is that the real schar the mitzvahs, in the fact, is in the what you're overcoming in order to be able to perform the mitzvahs. You know, but the other one was the overcoming, like, all the emotions, you know, like, which go against it, you know, in terms of the particular mitzvah. This is more focusing not on the particular emotions that the mitzvah hit on, but just the generic idea that simply being mitzvah itself brings into play an emotion of rebellion. And that he has to overcome. You know, it's like an overarching character, yetzer, which he has to overcome. This is the guy who's saying it's true. There may be a count. There may be emotion to do it, emotion not to do it. A rebellious emotion and an emotion you want to fit in line. But so the guy who basically is ain't a mitzvah, so he basically doesn't have any emotions. He doesn't have an emotion to do it because you know, and he doesn't have an emotion not to do it. So it's like neutral. So for him doing it, it's simply because he realizes that it's a good idea, and that's why he thought that's a great perfection, because he's just doing it on his own. But the other guy, it's like it's a very emotionally charged area for him, you know what I mean? So in order to get it right, he's going to have to be able to overcome the emotions in the area. It's true, there's emotion, there's emotion. Now, you know, so essentially he's going to have to sort through his emotions and be able to decide follow Chachma and subordinate those emotions to Chachma. So the saying is, that we're saying is, that's the real benefit of mitzvahs. The real benefit of the mitzvah is not so much in that he's deciding to do it when it's optional, you know, and he's seeing with his mind, you know. But the benefit of the mitzvahs is that a person's being able to control his energies and his emotions and getting it in line and coming to do the, you know, overcoming his conflicts and doing the mitzvah. It's good, actually. It's very interesting because it's like, see, in mitzvos, it says primarily mitzvos is that. It's like a person's like his energies and his emotions and, you know, aligning his emotions with chachma. But like limud Torah is a different perfection. That's the perfection of chachma. Like this new perfect, you know, the perfection of the guy isn't simply involved in the world of thought. You know, that's the perfection of thought. That's the perfection of Lema Torah. But mitzvos is primarily like where a guy's involved in the world and his actions and his energies, the world where his emotions are going in all different directions, and he is acting not based on any of those emotions, but based on his mind, the conclusions which he arrived at in his Lema Torah, you know. So saying the schar of the mitzvahs, the highest schar, is when the guy who has the satan and it becomes a whole complicated emotional struggle, and now he sees through it and decides, you know, follows chachma as opposed to those emotions. The other guy, it's true, it's an appreciation, it reflects an appreciation of chachma, which is great, it's very nice. But that's not the primary schar of mitzvahs. Primary schar of mitzvahs is in how it interplays with your emotions and your overcoming, you know. And your ability, you know, you're subordinating the emotions towards chachma.
I'm not sure I got it.
If you have a tug of war of emotions, it's true there may be the emotions, but they're not going to consistently go in one way. So the guy who's a mitzvah va'osa means he's osa. So it means he's consistently he's doing the mitzvah. So when he's doing, if he just happens to do it because of the emotion, the one well, this time he did it because he followed this emotion. That's, you know, I don't know if that's what he's taught. It's talking about guys who are doing the mitzvahs. He's doing the mitzvahs, so. It's not because that emotion, because he's other emotions. So essentially, it's because he's giving up the emotions and working through the struggle and deciding to subordinate himself to, you know, to chachma, to what the rationality dictates he should do. Okay, good. Next. So the next answer the Ritva has, and they have this. A few of the Tos Rosh had it also. I think they say a lot of the Rishonim have this answer. Okay. Rabbeinu Gadol Zal, Pirish. Shamitzvos einon lahanos akel yisparach hametzava ela lizchusenu. Okay, so it's a good source. He says the mitzvos are not for God, the commander, but for us. Umishu mitzuva kiyam gzeras hamelach, and someone who is commanded fulfills the gzeras hamelach. Lefikach sreiro habe yosem izesh lo kiyam mitzvos hamelach. Therefore, he's a greater schar. Mikol makom. But still, the guy's in mitzvah also gets schar. Because he still, from his own generosity or whatever, he decides to put himself in line with mitzvah Hashem. But he says, that's only if Hashem commanded this mitzvah to other people. So you see that as a son Hashem, this is a good activity. It's just that you're a potter, you're a woman, you're a suma. You have a particular p'tor. I will osim e'ilav mitzvah shalot tzivsubam Torah klal, but if a guy just decides to make up his own thing, like a baltosa, if he just takes something which is not nowhere ordained by God as being a valuable ma'isa mitzvah, and he just decides to make this into a mitzvah, that's zushem akoshim mitzvah d'avosein egradiot. That guy, that's a guy who's a fool. He's like, that's not what's talking about. Ainu Tsuvosi, he's sort of saying, doesn't mean a guy who's just not, where God has no command, where there is no mitzvah altogether, and you just do it. But it means no, where there is a command, but you as a gavra are not mitzvah in it, but and you do it. I think he's just clarifying, is that you see, what is Ainu Tsuvosi? You say, wait a minute, the woman, let's say, Arptura from mitzvah sukkah. So let's say, so that's it. Hashem said, women don't have to do mitzvah sukkah. So she decides she wants to do her own thing? So what kind of thing is that? So they apparently say, no, that even though God didn't command it, a person has a right to make their own thing. So say, oh, so what's the difference? So I can make up my own command. So he says, no, there's a difference between when God said sukkah is a valid action of reaching God, but for a particular reason, God potted woman from mitzvah sukkah. So, but now if she wants to do it, she's following God's will, so to speak, because God set this activity up as a legitimate means of approaching God. It's a mitzvah. It's just that it wasn't a chayiv. So she's putting herself, that's what Einu Mitzvosa means. Einu Mitzvosa means is that where the Torah wasn't a chayiv you, in this mitzvah, set up the mitzvah wasn't a chayiv you, so you could do it. That's a good thing. But if the Torah didn't set up the thing altogether and you're just making your thing up, so then that's just your imagination. Well, who told you this is even a root to Ratzon Hashem? You can't make up new roots to Avodas Hashem. There is no root. So you're saying that's just a fool. He's just not, you know. I mean, even if technically you could avoid the technicalist or Baal Tosef, I mean, you have to get the sugyas, but it's complicated Baal Tosef. But it means that's basically a fool. He just wants to show you don't mistake Einu Mitzvah Osa with Baal Tosef. And don't think, can Baal Tosef, so a woman can't do it because Baal Tosef. He says that Baal Tosef means you're adding on a new root of Avodah Hashem. But a woman, when you say woman of Torah from Mitzvah Sukkah, it doesn't mean it's not perfection for them. It's just that there's no chiyuv. But they're in Einu Mitzvah Osa. It's, you know. What's it mean? How is it perfection for a man, but it's not perfection for a woman? Why should that be? It doesn't do anything for her. I mean, it does something. I mean, she'll think about the ideas the same way a man will think about the ideas. But it didn't command her to carry it out. So, but it's still the same idea, same perfection. But to make up your own thing, that's a whole different, that's a whole different ballpark. But what's, how's he saying? What's this, what's he, how, just to explain what he's saying here about Mitzvosa. So why is Mitzvosa greater? Maybe we just get clear. What's this? It sounds like he's almost contradictory, because he starts off by saying is that the mitzvahs are not for God, but they're for man.
Right.
But then he's saying is, oh, but if you did it, you're doing the Ritzon Hashem. You're doing the Gzera of Hashem. But what's that? I mean, it's just for me, so it's just for me, so forget that. Forget the God's Gzera. The point is for me. I mean, what's that idea exactly? It sounds like he's saying there's two things here. Isn't there just one thing? What's these two things? That's a way, good way to ask the question. Is that you're saying it's a mitzvah, right? Now, but I'll make a mitzvah, let's say. Let's say a woman's made a mitzvah in sukkah. Now, if she does sukkah, is it a perfection? So you think, yes, right? It's perfection for her, right? Now, isn't it God's will that a man's perfected? So isn't that fulfilling God's will? So isn't it fulfilling God's will anyways? Like, what's the difference, really? Right? I mean, everything's God. I mean, but God didn't tell you specifically to do this in particular. But still, what's the difference, you know? So, okay, let me just try to explain here a little bit. I think I want to have Rebbe explain this. It's kind of, I'm saying over, I think, what he, you know, I don't know exactly the words, but this is what I understood. Somehow this came up years back, I'm sure. But the idea is about mitzvahs. The idea of mitzvahs. Okay, the idea of, let's say, the chiv of mitzvahs and the tzivoy of mitzvahs. So, for instance, let's say before Torah. Let's assume you hold, like those who say that the Avos were not mitzvah in the mitzvahs. Or even say they didn't do the mitzvahs, let's assume. Okay, I mean, I don't know if anyone, whatever, let's say, right, fine. So the thing is, so yet, they still have perfection, right? Certainly the Avos still had the same perfection as we have now, right? They had the same perfection that we have now. So now, what happens now, so what basically is the mitzvahs? Is the mitzvahs just like, let's say for instance, it's a perfection to, let's say one of the mitzvahs. Let's say someone would do the mitzvahs and they're not perfected. Let's say mezuzah is a mitzvah. So mezuzah, a person thinks about ideas about God when he walks into his house. So that's a perfection, right? So is that's a perfection in Adam, it would seem, right? So like a guy, for instance, who's not mitzvah mezuzah, could do the mitzvah and gain that perfection, right? I mean, why not? I mean, the idea of the perfection is that I break my security from my house and I realize that the God is the true source of security and I walk to my house and I think about all the ideas, Achdus Hashem and Avas Hashem and all those ideas. Great, perfect, right? That's mitzvah, you know. So what more is there? I mean, what's the difference between a Jew does it or a guy does it, right? What's the difference between a Jew does it or a guy does it? So the thing is like this, is that for instance, before Torah was optional, mitzvahs, or anything, I mean, perfection was somewhat optional. There's no mitzvah, I mean, perfection was a personal matter. He decided to do it, he decided not to do it, and each person is from himself. Now, what's the idea of the chiyuv of mitzvahs? Why should there be a chiyuv of mitzvahs? You say, look, a perfection is for you, you want to do it, do it, you don't want to do it, don't do it, you're harming yourself. You know, what's the idea of a chiyuv, of a tzivoy, of a mitzvah, you know? Yes. So the thing is like this, is that it's, that's the thing, is that at Sinai, basically, perfection is true. Like a good example, the Greeks. Is that the Greeks had a philosophy. But basically, after a few generations, where is it gone? You know, where did it go? You know, you have Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and then what? I don't know, is there philosophers? But then it didn't continue onwards. But basically, Torah is a system where it's not just a bunch of individual freelance philosophers, but the system of Torah is a system which brings an Am towards perfection. Brings an Am towards perfection. And to have an Am to have perfection, not an Am, aren't philosophers. Philosophers are individuals. So the way the Torah works is that there's a system which is set up, and that system contains in it all ideas about perfection, and its references, every mitzvah is an expression of an idea in perfection, or some philosophical idea, and that system's existence gives every person the opportunity for perfection and teaches them true ideas. And if it's just through this existence of the system, the perfection can be maintained throughout the generations, and each person will partake of it on his own level to his degree of understanding, you know, and knowledge. Now, the thing is like this, and that's like the idea at Sinai was like God set up Am Yisrael, like Malach Kohanim Gai Kadosh. You know, he set up, that it means that we are Kohanim to teach, we're like God's servants in teaching or in maintaining the true ideas in the world through our keeping of the Torah, right? What the Avoda is through us keeping the mitzvot of the Torah, we are perpetuating the true ideas about God and about perfection to the world. To the world. That exists through us. And that's why it's not optional. It's not, you can't say, I'm not interested. Because that was the bris. The bris was that you take this upon yourself, and we get the great benefit of Torah, but it's a responsibility also. It's a responsibility. We have to do it. Like the Ram says, for instance, he says, there are certain times, certain instances, you could come up with a case. I don't know if he thinks it's common, but it's possible to say, to have a mitzvah which would not be beneficial, like at a specific time. Like, let's say, for instance, like an example, let's say like a zona. Let's say sleeping with a zona is also, right? But you see, for instance, a prostitute. Right? So you see, for instance, a Yehuda slept with a zona at a particular point. And so if zona isn't good, so then why should he, right? But apparently Yehuda at a particular time and place determined that was good. It was important for him. He is in a certain situation where that was the right thing for him to do. So let's say a person were in that situation. Would he be able to say, you know what, in terms of my perfection, I need that right now. So you say, maybe in terms of perfection, you could have argued that, but the system can't exist without a system, and a system demands that you have allegiance to the system. If each guy could do that, then basically there's no system anymore. So it's Ratzon Hashem. It means that God set up a system whereby true ideas are maintained in the world. And therefore, when you are doing the mitzvahs, you're carrying out God's will. It means, besides for the perfection of your midos, which the particular mitzvah gives you, whereas besides for mezuzah perfecting you insofar as you're thinking about your bias and ideas of security, and you know, besides for that, it's an action of maintaining that idea in the world. The world, the idea that a bias is not the true security, but the idea of Hashem is a person's security, is maintained through you doing this activity. And that itself, the fact that you are involving yourself in that activity, is a perfection, in a different type of a sense. It's a generic. All the mitzvahs have that perfection. I mean, but that's apart from the particulars of mitzvahs mezuzah benefiting your midah of how you relate to your bias. You know, what I mean, it's just that all your energies are involved in carrying out. You're subordinating yourself instead of fulfilling your own desires. You're carrying out the greater good, that which is great, good for the world, as God has revealed. Of course, it's for man, though. It's not for God. It's for man. But God's revealing, this is the best for mankind. It's the best that this system exists. And you fulfilling that is aligning yourself with the good for the world, as determined by God. That's God's gezerah. That's God's will. You know, it's not for God. It's for mankind. I mean, but that itself is a perfection. So now, apparently, in God's will, in this system, like, let's say, for instance, you say, is a woman on mitzvah and mitzvah shana on grama? Like, I heard everybody say this also. It's like, what do you mean mitzvah shana on grama? Let's say Kriyashma. Kriyashma is Kabbalah Salam Achamayim. So that's the most important mitzvah. I mean, of the most important mitzvahs. It's twice a day. Your whole life is involved in accepting all the fundamental ideas in Torah upon yourself, in the Kriyashma. So how could a woman not be obligated in that? I mean, what, a woman not obligated in Yichud Hashem and Avas Hashem and the mitzvos and all those ideas in Kriyashma? Is this not, they're not obligated in that? You know, those ideas are, of course, they're obligated in. But so how could it be a woman of Tzitzit Mitzvot Sezeron Gama? So he says, see, if the premise is that mitzvos are, that it's obligating you in perfection, then you couldn't say women don't have to do that, because, of course, that's part of perfection of woman also. But the idea is that the mitzvos are God's setting up a system whereby these ideas are maintained. That the idea that a person should align himself with all the ideas in Kriyashma is maintained. That's an idea. Now, who did God entrust or demand that this idea will be maintained through the men? In other words, the men are the ones who are entrusted or obliged to maintain this idea in the world. You know, I mean, not women, because it's my grandma, because they're not the appropriate vehicles of being able to maintain it. Just like, for instance, the Masorah. Who is the ones who have to keep the Masorah? Men are have to do it, and women do not. And there's a different mitzvos are set up. There are different people, or mitzvah. So now when a man does Krishna, he's first of all, let's say a man wakes up early for Krishna. Okay, he wakes up early to say Krishna, you know. So first of all, he's conquering his personal desire of sleep, and I guess of, and then subordinate himself to those ideas, to the ideas of Krishna himself. But then he's also doing another thing, which is that he's subordinating himself to the system which God set up. I mean, there's a difference between subordinating yourself to the particular ideas in Krishna, as that you are aligning your life with those ideas in Krishna and thinking about Achdus Hashem and all those things. But then there's another thing, is that your activities are being guided by the good for the world as opposed to your particular wants and this wants. That itself is a perfection for a person in a different sphere. I mean, like if one guy is making his decisions based upon, his actions now are based upon his whole life, his old decisions in his life are based upon the greater good. That is a perfection for a person, that you're going beyond, like for instance, let's say the case of a guy, the Zona case. Let's assume you get a case where it would be good for a guy to sleep in the Zona. So and now he does the mitzvah, right? So did he say he's harming himself by doing that? Or, you know, you say it's good for, it would have been good if not for Torah, it would have been the right thing to do. So that's, you know, but now that Torah says to do it, so now basically it's saying is that a person has to, so to speak, sacrifice his personal situation for the greater, the good of the world, right? But that itself is a perfection to the guy. In other words, given that the Torah exists, that itself is, if a guy would say, I'm going to follow what I think is good for me, and the world will suffer. So that would be an imperfection. He's benefiting in terms of particular, but that's an overarching perfection, is that you realize that the fact that you even have the Torah and have any perfection is because the system exists. So the system has to exist, so you're going to have to, so to speak, give of yourself in this case for the greater good, and that is the perfection. The fact that you're subordinating yourself to that is a perfection. That's a great perfection. And that benefits you. So it's saying that's what he's saying, is that is the primary schar in mitzvahs. And it makes sense. They're saying that's the idea of schar v'onesh, that Kal Yisrael, the primary schar v'onesh is the Kal Yisrael. That insofar as Kal Yisrael are vehicles of teaching the world that these true ideas, then they will have the highest brachos. That's the brachas. The brachas are, people will look and see, this is a successful nation. This is a nation which really is a nation of truth. And insofar as basically you don't reflect true ideas, then you're going to have onesh. Because people look, and these Jewish people, this is what God's message is? So no, these people, this is not what God's message is. These people have onesh. You know, so the schar, the greatest schar, that's the thing, the greatest schar in the mitzvahs is not just because the personal perfection of your midah which results, but there's an element in mitzvah which is that you are aligning yourself with God's plan in the universe of Malach Tzikon Megai Kadosh, and you're carrying out that system, and as such, you will be deserving of a schar. This is part of the klal. And saying that is the ultimate schar in the mitzvah. That's greater than the personal midos benefits, which, you know, which is going to result from the mitzvahs. That's what he's saying, you know? So, but he's telling you, don't think it's for God. It's not for God. It's God's will. It means in terms of this whole, it's like a kiyum of the mitzvahs themselves, the whole objective of the mitzvahs, which is to set up a system. Now, a guy who's an Eina Mitzuvah simply cannot do that. Like, a woman can't have that fulfillment in Sukkah, because God did not determine that women are going to be the ones to do it. So if she's doing it, she's just saying is, I appreciate the idea and the perfection in mitzvah sukkah, and I'm going to align myself with that perfection because I realize that is the greatest way for me to internalize the ideas of sukkah shadis b'nei Yisrael into my life. I could have just thought about them, but I see God set up this method. This is a really great method, and I'm aligning myself with that. So that's a perfection for her. But you can't have the perfection of carrying out God's will that this system exists, because apparently God determined that it doesn't come about through her. It comes about through the man. That's why I think the Ritva says is that it is a benefit for her still, because he's involving himself in that mitzvah. I mean, you could argue that he's saying mituv leva v'chasidus hichnis atzmo l'asam mitzvah yisbar. You could argue that he's saying is even in terms of God's will, it is like a fulfillment in that. sounds like he might be saying, because mituv levav is like out of the graciousness of his heart. When is the graciousness of his heart? He's doing it because it's a perfection for himself. It's a personal thing, you know? But it could be is that if it's God's will that mitzvah slikah teaches the world certain ideas, and he determined that it was only necessary for men to do it. But if a woman does it, it also teaches that idea, so it's true, it's not the primary method which God set up for it is not, you know, is not, she can't fulfill, but she's partaking of that. You know what I mean? It could be he's saying that the real Yisrael Mitzvah is this idea. But a woman could partake of it, or I am supposed to partake of it in like a secondary manner. Could be that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
It's not for God, it means is that it's not, God doesn't benefit by the fact that the world recognizes God. But it's that, it's like Chesed Hashem, you could say, is that he gave, set up this perfect system which will maximize man and the men's recognition of God. And it's the best thing for human beings when they recognize God. So therefore, God set up a system which will maximize that recognition. So it's God's system, but it's not, they say it's not lanos akel, it means don't think that he loses out if it doesn't take place. You lose out. I mean, mankind loses out in the recognition of the true, the idea of the universe, which is God, you know?
So we're going to do Tosfos now. Okay? We're going to do Tosfos. Okay. So Tosfos, now let's look at Tosfos. Now comes up another question. Question is about bracha. It's a very, it's a practical, very practical question. More so for women, I guess, but, you know. But it's a very practical question. It's about someone who's aim suvosa making brachas. Okay, let's say a woman wants to sit in a sukkah. Does she say, could a woman say a bracha on the Baruch Mitzvah? Okay, or a summa. Could a summa say a bracha if their name is Tzivosa? The issue, I guess, at its core is, could she say Vitzivanu? We'll see, but could she say Vitzivanu? He commanded us. Commanded us? Didn't command women. Right? Okay. So, it said the story, basically, is that Rav Yosef, originally, okay, guys, this is important. Originally, when he heard that, there's a question whether it was sumas, blind people are chayv or pater mitzvos, right? So originally, he didn't know gadol mitzvosa and mishen mitzvosa. So he thought it was better if you're ena mitzvosa and you decide on your own to do the mitzvah. He thought that was better, right? That's what he had thought, right? So he since that was the case, he thought he was very happy to hear that the halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda. If anyone would ever say halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda, then he'd be very happy. He'd be joyed. Because now he'd be getting the great tzchar. Getting the great tzchar, it would be better for him, right? So it says, so now that's where Tos comes in. Okay, so saying it's like this. He says, so he's saying the question, he wants to say from here that if a woman, even though a woman is 100% patura from mitzvah shman grama, midrabanam midrais, 100% patura from sitting in a sukkah, let's say, she could still make a bracha. Okay, she could still make a bracha. The inkam mishum lo sisa shma lashaf, and it's not like a bracha levatal. Mishum mivarchos brach shen tricha. You don't say it's like a brach shen tricha because she's not obligated. She doesn't have to. How do you know? How's this a raya? The ilav hachi hechi sameach Rav Yosef. How could Rav Yosef be so happy that he's not obligated? That even though he gets greater schar, but he's not going to get any brachos now. As he's now, he's not going to be able to say any brachos. In other words, if it were the case that you could only say a bracha if you're commanded, so then you're going to have to say that Rav Yosef knew that if a sumo was pater mitzvos, if it were the case that a sumo was pater from mitzvos, so Rav Yosef was never going to be able to say bracha mitzvah, because he's not commanded. So he would have never been able to say bracha mitzvos, because he's pater from all the mitzvos. So what's Rav Yosef getting so overjoyed at the fact that it's a greater schar, but now he's not going to be able to say any brachos? So it must be, that really, he knew he wasn't going to be able to say the brachos. He could say brachos anyways. Woman could say brachos. You don't have to be a mitzvah v'osah to say a bracha. Must be. And that's why he's saying the brachos anyways. And that was only a question of where does he get more schar? Mitzvah v'osah enum mitzvah. So he said, I'd rather be an enum mitzvah according to what he held. You know what I mean? But if it were the case
that bracha, that you couldn't make a bracha, then there's no way Rav Yosef would have been happy to lose out on all the brachas in Dara. Right? So what's the question? What's the question on this? It's question sort of, what's the benefit of the bracha and the benefits of the mitzvah? But I'd say stronger is that the benefit of the bracha is if I'm doing a mitzvah and I'm chayiv to say a bracha, then I have to say a bracha. And then it's a good thing to say a bracha. And if I don't have to say a bracha, then I don't have to say a bracha. Like, what's... You're right, the essential benefit, you think, is in terms of the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah itself is that is a mitzvah in the mitzvah, and a mitzvah, so that's the primary thing. The bracha is like a secondary thing. You don't run after a bracha. If a simul is patapata from saying a bracha, then okay, fine. So he's saying, he's doing the mitzvahs anyways. So how is Tosos 100% convinced? He's so convinced that there's no way he would go for a mitzvah va'osa if it would mean giving up the brachas. Why not? So he'll give up the brachos. So he doesn't have to say. It's not like he's not saying brachos when he has to say brachos. He doesn't have to say brachos. Right? So why is he so convinced, you know? So the Ritva kind of started, the Ritva and the Ran, in order to, they try to give an answer. It's not so totally satisfying. That's what we're going to have to explain. But so he says like this. This is in the Ritva, and the Ran also has this. But basically, I'm just going to read a little bit of it. He says, why would he be making a yontif? If it were the case that he couldn't make a bracha, why would he be making a yontif? Hare hu mafsid brachos, because he's going to lose out on the bracha. So what's he so happy for? The yotza scharo behafsedo. And the schar, the whole schar that he's going to get, because Ein Zoz is going to be lost by through the loss of the brachos. Why? Damrina Baba Kama, because the Gemara Baba Kama says, Hi man, the boy let me have a chassida. If a person wants to be a chassid, pious, okay, the kayim mili de brachos. He should be mekayim matters of brachos. He should be mekayim matters of brachos, which we should look at. I think we should look at that Gemara. What's the deal there? What does that mean? But let's just get pshat for now, okay? So he's saying is because you see brachos are so important. If you want to be a chassid, do brachos. So how could it be that Rav Yosef was going to give up brachos? Brachos aren't just an ordinary thing. That is the key to being a chassid. The key to being a good guy, do brachos. So how could Rav Yosef give up brachos? Right? So it can't be. He's trying to explain a little bit. He's trying to answer, right? He says, but now he says like this. Ve'afilu tema, I know what you're going to say. Tiahu de mechuyav brachos. Av mishen mechuyav b'ham. Lo hefzid b'chassidusuk shelo birech. He says, I'll tell you that maybe you'll argue, what does it mean if you want to be a chassid, do brachos? It means whenever you're obligated in a bracha, you got to do it 100%. Perfect, right? But if a guy is not obligated in brachos, what are you going to say? You're not a chassid because you're not doing brachos? You don't have to do brachos. You don't say, just go around making a million brachos a day. No, you only make a bracha when you're chayiv. So the chassid, what's a chassid? A chassid is a guy who does brachos exactly when he has to do it. But there's no halacha you start looking around all day for food, things to eat, so you can be making a million brachos. So what's the big deal? He's not giving up on his chassidus. Presumably when he ate, he said brachos ananim. When he saw a rainbow, he'd say brachos on the rainbow. So it just means he's not going to say brachos on mitzvahs because he wouldn't be obligated in brachos on mitzvahs. So who's to say that means he lacks in his chassidus? How does that reflect it? So he says, no, hello after. I'm sorry, he says, hello after. It's not possible. Sheyirtze Rav Yosef li potter min ha-mitzvos. It's not possible Rav Yosef would want to be potter from the mitzvos. V'lo yelo reshus levarach aleihem. Es Hashem. V'lizrok baruch ha-mipev. And to be potter, it's not possible that he would want to be potter from the mitzvos and to not have permission to give a bracha on it, to be mevarach Hashem on it, and to throw out a bracha from his mouth. Right? Strange lashon. He's saying it's not possible that he would want that. The adifale agra demand the mifkid umevarech man. So the adifale agra demand the mifkid umevarech me agra demand the lo mifkid velo mevarech. And it would be better for him. He's saying Ritva is saying is it must be. It would be better for him to have the reward of being a mitzvah. And to be a, make a bracha, than to be one who is not a mitzvah and to not make a bracha. In other words, even if you held that it's better to not be commanded, like it's havamina, still, if that would allow you to make a bracha, that gotta be better. It can't be that you're gonna be happy that you're not gonna be allowed to make a bracha, and to throw a bracha out of your mouth.
whatever that means, right? And Ella, so how, why was he happy? So Ella Vaday, the Rav Yosef, Mvarich, Hayal Mitzvah, Safili, Potter Mehem. So it must be that he was going to make brachos. Umi Nashamina, Lashem, and the Mitzvahs, Shem Baturim, Shem Baalasos, and Brachalim. So therefore you see, also, similarly, women are going to make a bracha, even though they're preserved from the Mitzvahs. Okay? The question is, the Ritva doesn't really seem to be answering his question. I mean, he's talking strongly, but his question is that you might taina that the only time you're a chassid or is when you're chayiv to make the bracha, and you're not going to lack in your chassidus if you're not chayiv. He says, no, it's not possible that he's going to give up the opportunity to make a bracha. Why not? Maybe the chassid, I mean, he's not answering his question. Maybe the whole Gemara of being chassid is only when you're chayiv. And he's just like forcefully answering that's not true. You know, so what's his answer? Okay? So we should do that. I think we should look at Shaykh to look at the Gemara there. The Gemara there has, you want to be a chassid, it has, not only it says brachos, it has brachos, avos, and nezikin. Okay, but maybe we should look at the Gemara. Let's try it. Anyways, it's interesting. It sounds interesting. I mean, you want to be a chassid, presumably you want to be a chassid. So it seems like it's revealing important areas of mitzvah, something like that. So let's try to explain those, and then let's try to figure out what's he doing, you know? And then after that, I mean, I think this stuff should keep us busy for tomorrow. But after that, we're going to have to do is there are those who argue. There are those who argue that you don't make a bracha. So what are they going to do with this Gemara? You know what I mean? How are they going to explain that? Okay, so that's the next chunk. But the next chunk is somewhat complex. So let's just work on this one. Okay, so the Gemara is on Lamed Amud Beis in Baba Kama. So check out that Gemara there. Maybe it's Lamed Amud Aleph. Take a look.